Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be remembering a couple of school teachers here in our county, Mr. and Mrs. Goble Spurlock, and we'll be talking to their granddaughters, Cynthia and Chrissy, and remember all about them and their contributions to the Jessamine County education system. We'll do that right after this word from our sponsor, the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about people, places, and things of our county. Well, today we are going to remember a couple of school teachers. And the idea came to mind to do this because we have had a picture of him, I know, on our You Grew Up in Jessamine County Facebook page a couple of times. And every time we do, it just brings around some great comments and remembrances, especially of him in high school. Their names was Goble and Violet Spurlock. They both taught, and today we have their granddaughters with us. Now, do you want to be called Cynthia or Cindy?
I'm usually called Cindy.
Cindy Miller and Chrissy Tyra. And their mother was a daughter to Mr. and Ms. Spurlock. Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys here. And you know, we just recently had a picture of your grandfather on the page that brought a lot of good comments. And the picture I'm talking about is the one that he is standing at the chalkboard. And it looks like he is doing some kind of chemistry. You can see the OH and all that kind of stuff. But it was really interesting, the comments that he had. There was one comment, as a matter of fact, that a lady wrote, taught me more in high school than four semesters of chemistry and two of micro in college. That's quite a compliment. So we want to talk not only about him, but your grandmother too, because she taught too. So let's start with Goble Spurlock. Tell me a little bit about how he got to be here, where he was born, his parents, kind of things like that. Who wants to do that?
He was born in Clay County. Have no idea when or whatever.
Okay.
And he was, what, nine? There were nine children?
He was he was the oldest of 11.
11.
He was the oldest of 11. His mother and daddy lived right outside of Oneida.
Yeah.
Kentucky. And then he went
Oneida.
I say it wrong.
That's
Oneida in Tennessee, but it's Oneida.
Oneida up
so
here.
Isn't
there a Bible college there?
Baptist
in
Institute.
Fact,
yeah.
Reverend James Byrne, our grandmother's cousin. Started that.
Oh, really? Okay. So she was from there, too.
She was from there, too.
All right. Now I get it. Okay.
They were both from Clay County. They were both school teachers. She taught, started out.
We'll go back. After the war, he got out of, when was that, 45, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
He, on the GI Bill, went to Eastern and got his degree there.
Okay.
So he went on the GI Bill, and she went to school at the same time.
So they knew each other from Clay County
mm-hmm.
growing
yes.
up. And were, I guess, married there?
Yes, married
okay.
there and lived there for quite a few years before. They moved to Wilmore in 1950.
Now, were they married prior to them going to get their education?
Yes.
What did they do before that? Do we know?
Not sure.
I think Grandpa just worked different. He worked there on the farm.
Okay.
With his father and his brothers, of course. And then he went into the Army during the World War. At one time, they were all the nine brothers were in the Army, were in the war at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
All nine. And the only one that didn't come home was the youngest, Hubert. He was 19.
Wow.
But they were all in the service at the same time.
You said there were 11 kids?
Mm-hmm.
And
nine brothers,
nine
two sisters.
Nine were boys?
Mm-hmm. Nine boys, two sisters.
Your poor grandmother. Bless her heart. She
Grandmother
earned...
Ibby was a mighty little woman.
Yeah.
She lived to 103 years old.
You're kidding. 103.
Yeah.
She got a lot of stars in her crown, too,
yeah.
for raising all them kids. Nine boys. Can you even start to imagine how it would feel to have nine boys?
Mm-hmm.
All nine, you said.
All nine.
In the service at the same time. Were they all overseas?
Not all of them.
Okay.
Some were and some weren't.
But to have one, I would assume, would be... But to used to have one child in an overseas... And, you know, nowadays, where it's so much different, at least nowadays, you kind of can see on TV what's going on. Back then, you had no clue. So you send your children off. That had to be a hard time for that family to get through.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So your dad was the oldest, so they get married, he and Violet, your grandmother gets married, and he decides to become a teacher. So he goes to Eastern, which is known and was set up originally for a teaching university, teaching college, and graduates. Where did she go?
Same place.
Now, you said they came to Wilmore in 1950. Was there any particular reason they found Wilmore?
He was going to teach at the Wilmore High School. At that time, it was all just Wilmore High School. It was all together, grades, kindergarten.
Right.
Well, not kindergarten, but first grade all the way up. It was all there at one site.
And he came to teach
agriculture and biology.
So there's a job opening, and he just happened to hear about it.
And then grandmother, she got a job teaching third grade.
At Wilmore.
At Wilmore Elementary, yes.
Okay. Of course, the home of the Bears. And a lot of people in our community knows that the elementary were the Cubs, the high school were the Bears, and that was before
Green
consolidation.
And white.
And Bill Maxwell had every sport covered down there.
And so our mom was in eighth grade, I think.
Yes, she was in eighth grade when they moved to Wilmore.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Your mom and your grandparents were married in Clay. They came to Wilmore. Now, your mother born in Clay County?
Yes. They were all born in Clay County, and then they went to they lived in Richmond while they were going to school. And then they moved from there to Wilmore.
Did your mother have any siblings?
Yes. And she has an older sister and a younger and an older brother as well. There were three of them. She's the youngest of the family.
So they came to Wilmore and
they all came to Wilmore, and went to high school.
Down here.
Yes. Well, the way that my mother met my father was...
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Tell people your mom's name.
Her name is Nancy Joan Spurlock.
Yes.
Nancy Joan Hahn.
Yes.
Married Charles Hahn.
Who everybody knows.
Is Shorty.
Shorty. Who's not short at all, folks.
No, I don't know how he got that name, but anyway. He and my Uncle Russell, which was Mom's older brother, were in the same... They were good friends when they came to Wilmore. Daddy and Russell became good friends, and Mom met Dad through
that
Uncle Russell.
Yeah.
So the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, Shorty. Of course, and Shorty's kin to the Poors.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they hook up. So we have Shorty. I know. That's all I know him as. and your mother, Joan. And they get married when?
1955.
And decide... We need kids, so you two came along. So before we go any further, your grandparents, tell about yourself and what you've been doing and kind of your family.
Well, okay. I followed in my grandparents' footsteps and became a teacher as well. Born, lived here in Wilmore all my life, grew up, went to the University of Kentucky, got my teaching certificate, my master's degree. Then I started teaching at Wilmore Elementary in 1978.
Back where your grandmother was.
Yes, exactly. In the first 3 years, this is really cool. It is such a blessing to me. For the first 3 years of my teaching career, I actually got to teach with Grandma.
How many people can even say
that? She was a third grade teacher, and I was a first grade teacher.
Wow.
For the first 3 years, we taught together until she retired.
What great experience.
It was. It was a very good experience. I was also in her third grade class as a student, so, it was, there wasn't anything else I could do except be a teacher.
Yeah, right.
But that's what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be just like Grandma.
Yeah, well.
So, and then I taught there at Wilmore. Of course, we moved to the new location, and I retired there about 5 years ago. So I taught from 78 until 2010.
And just taking it easy now.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing other things.
Yeah.
I'm subbing a little bit. And
do you have children?
No.
Okay.
No.
And Chrissy, what about you?
Well, I graduated from University of Kentucky with a teaching degree.
Before you say that, both of you are Jessamyn County High School.
Yes, I graduated from Jessamyn High.
Well, just Jessamyn High, then it wasn't West at that time.
Right.
78 for me was when I graduated.
Yeah, you were 2 years ahead of me. I was in 80,
Okay, so 78, and then I went to Midway. Well, we'll get back to that. I went to Midway 1 year. I was going to be a nurse. My grandfather taught at Midway after he left Nicholas Knoxville. Yeah. He went to Midway.
Midway College.
And he helped start the nursing program in the chemistry department over there. And he taught chemistry to the nurses. And so I went to Midway 1 year thinking I was going to be a nurse.
Yeah.
Knowing I could not ever pass his class. Mm-hmm. So I went into teaching. No, that wasn't the reason. But so I'm a teacher too. So, followed into my sister's footsteps
and
here.
And did you teach at Wilmore?
I taught at Brookside for several years, and then I transferred to Wilmore, and I just retired 2 years ago from Wilmore after 30 years of teaching.
Both of you. Do you have children?
No.
Neither one of you have kids. Okay. No. So Shorty is enough child for everybody, isn't he?
Well, I have three stepchildren.
There you go. Well, you got it. So your grandparents, it's interesting to hear this story about him because I don't know a lot about Mr. Spurlock other than he was Jessam County High, and I thought maybe that's where he was all the time, but he was everywhere. He came to Wilmore, you said, teaching ag?
Mm-hmm.
How did he end up with chemistry and that stuff?
Well, I think it might have had something to do with maybe he was teaching to the GIs, the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of some sort of a program that he was teaching. He also taught surveying and those kinds of things. But then he basically got into biology and the chemistry and the physics.
Yeah.
And he taught those subjects at Wilmore Elementary. Uh-huh. Wilmore High School. And then went to Jessamine when they built the new school.
I think he was at Nicholasville for a while,
was
too.
Was he there?
Was he Nicholasville High before? Mm-hmm. Now, let's see. All three of the schools, if my memory serves me correct, all three of the schools, I think, came together in around 59 or 60, somewhere in that area.
Right. Uh-huh.
So when that occurred, he just became a professor.
Biology, chemistry, and physics.
All the hard subjects.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about that post.
He was
post.
A brilliant person.
It had to be. I mean, I've told people before when I went to mortuary college, you have to study all the ology courses.
Mm-hmm.
And the ology courses are hard, whether it's micro, whether it's bi, anything ology. So you've got to be pretty, and chemistry is even tougher. I want to just tell you, and I don't know if you all read this or not, but just read you some of the comments that some people have made on Facebook about your granddad. And this is not anything to take away from your grandmother at all, and I'm sure we'll get statements about her when we get her picture on. But here's a few of them. What a great teacher he was. Fantastic teacher. Taught me more in high school than in college. Great teacher. Over and over, the word great teacher appears. Mm-hmm. Really one of the great teachers. I was in his class for chemistry. One of my favorite teachers. Listen to this one. One of my favorite teachers, and he failed me in biology my freshman year. I had to take summer school that year. There were only five of us, so we had plenty of time to pay attention and not have distractions. Even at a young age, I knew he loved his work and what he was teaching. Another one, my favorite teacher by far. He never forgot you and would take tickets at the football basketball games and always took time to ask, what are you doing now and how's it going? Great man. Best teacher I ever had. I mean, this is over and over and over and over. And, this guy, when you think about education back in those days, here's one from a past teacher, Susan Braden.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Mr. Spurlock even though I was more interested in grammar and literature, which she taught.
Mm-hmm.
He was so genuine and helped me do well in an unfamiliar subject. Man, I tell you what, this guy's personality evidently, or his way of teaching, tell me, what about it did everybody enjoy?
There was only one way, and that was right way.
Yeah.
That was his whole life. Whatever he did, if it was the garden or class or whatever it was, that was the scientific mind he had.
You know,
this is precisely the way it's supposed to be done, and this is the way you do it. And also, he had a great respect for, the sciences and the world around him and people and everything else. One thing I always remember, he would always address his students as Mr. or Miss.
Really?
When he would call them. I've heard a lot of people say that he would call them that in class. He would say,
Mr. Smith, instead of John.
Miss Jones, would you, so forth and so on. He had a lot of respect for them, and in turn, they had a lot of respect for him.
Well, in addition to knowing his subjects and that, mm-hmm. I mean, he had to be, okay, let me say it this way. To have that respect for that, he had to be probably a hard teacher, because
this
those are hard subjects.
Hard, and it was the right way or no way.
But it sounds like, for people to make these kind of comments, it sounds like he had the personality to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I know, you've probably worked with some teachers who, they know their subject and they're hard, but they're not personable. And it makes it even harder. You have both, though. You get comments like this.
Well, I think some of it might come from the fact he was the oldest of 11 siblings, and so he was kind of in charge of telling everybody, getting keeping things organized. I mean, in those days, think about, you know, they had to grow everything. There was a lot involved in just keeping everybody together at that time. One thing I always remember him saying when I was in high school and trying to do, you know, if I hadn't had Grandpa to help me, I would have gotten through chemistry and physics. But anyway, he would always say, "Cindy, you don't memorize. You learn to remember. You memorize to forget." And I think, how many times, you know, you get ready for a quiz or a test and you say, "I got to memorize this, I got to get this, and as soon as the test is over, then
it's gone.
It's gone.
That's interesting.
And he would say that over and over. He says, "You learn to remember, you memorize to forget." And
wow.
That was just, you know.
Yeah, well, and you learned that because you still remember it.
And he wanted you to learn.
Sure.
He wanted you to understand it.
Yeah.
And he would keep going over it and over it as long as it took until you understood it.
And the subjects he taught are very difficult ones to understand for a lot of people. And it's just because they're hard. And so, for somebody to take that kind of time and that kind of interest is very special. What about your grandmother? Now, talk about her type of teaching. Did they teach a lot alike?
She was very quiet and soft-spoken. She never raised her voice in class.
Yeah.
She just had a kind of that presence about her that you wanted to do what she asked you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had a lot of the more difficult students in her class. And it didn't matter. Didn't matter where they came from, who they were, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
She taught everybody that came into her room, and when they left the room, they knew what they were supposed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very quiet, gentle, but powerful woman, too. She really, really cared about her students. I remember some of the students that she's talked about, how even she would talk to them in that day. You didn't have a lot of this other extra things that you do now. But about, I remember Judy Taylor one time saying that she remembered how Miss Spurlock had taught them how to make a salad and how to go home and do a healthy meal.
Yeah.
And things like that, beyond the ABCs and the reading and the math.
Mm-hmm.
She was... You know, she taught people manners.
Mm-hmm.
She was very big on manners and what you should and shouldn't do and the way she spoke and so forth.
Well, what she was doing and today...
She was teaching by example.
Well, exactly.
Yes.
And today, you know, we have a big emphasis on getting kids college ready, career ready. She was getting them life ready.
Life ready.
And that's the way teachers...
Be a good citizen.
A lot of teachers used to be, especially back in those days. That was a lot of it. Yeah.
And she was one that everybody could learn, regardless of who you were or where you had come from. She was... You can learn something.
I've got a little story that... It was the year I was in her class in the third grade. And that was the first year that the students came over from the Keene school, from the black school. They came over. That was the first year we were integrated.
Okay.
And so there was a little boy there. I believe his name was Anthony. And anyway, they said, "Don't worry with him. He'll never learn anything. He doesn't know anything, da-da-da-da-da." Well, of course, that just went, you know, in one ear and out the other as far as Grandma was concerned.
Right.
And she taught that child to read. He was in third grade, and he couldn't read. He was reading by the time he left third grade. He would learn his multiplication tables. He was so proud every time the principal, Mr. Glass, would come in the room, and Grandma would say, "Anthony, would you like to share what you've learned today with Mr. Glass?" And he'd stand up, and he'd start repeating his multiplication tables
that
he had learned. And, you know, a lot of the, and because of that, you know, a lot of the children who needed that extra or other people had given up on, if they found their way to Grandma's class, then they got on the right track.
You know, we have talked about this a lot in this program, in that anybody in their life, you don't really know what kind of impact you're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And you may never know on people. But I see it so much with teachers. In shows that we have done about educators and different ones, it seems like, and even going back to some of these comments here on this post, if you look at the teaching profession and you look at adults, most people, if they think back and think about people that made an influence. Most of them are educators, teachers, or somebody who took time, as your grandmother did with that young man. And sometimes, and this is the unfortunate part of life, is that these people may never realize, your grandmother may never realize what kind of impact she had, but it's still there today. Now, when did we lose Mr. Spurlock?
Let me think. I should have written that down. It was probably about 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
More than that.
More than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, however long it's been, he still has the impact.
It's been at least 15 or
And that's
probably.
The point. These people still have those fond memories of him, even all these years, and it continues to be. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will filter on from them to other people.
Remember I said he taught at Midway, and when Grandma was sick in the hospital or different places, and nurses would always, Mr. Spurlock, I had you for chemistry and at Midway, and if it hadn't been for your chemistry class, I never would have made it through nursing school. So wherever we were, in whatever hospital, there were always nurses would come, Mr. Spurlock, you know, and so...
That's amazing.
He was in the Veterans Hospital there at the end, and I remember one time sitting there as we were visiting, and some you know how they always change doctors at the VA each time you go, you've got something different, and they would come in and they would say, well, Mr. Bowen, he'd say, well, you need to give me so many cc's of this and so many, and those young doctors would look at him and say, how do you know that? And he would just rattle off all this stuff about, and he would always make sure, now what is it that you're giving me, now how much is that you're going to give me, and then he would tell them how to do it.
How was he as a patient? You know, my wife's a nurse.
Oh, it was sometimes, not a very good patient.
I understand that. She's a nurse, and sometimes she's not the best patient.
No,
I think it goes along with that. Let me ask you, and you've kind of answered this, but I won't pin you down. Let's start with your grandmother. As a grandmother, give me a word or two to describe her, just off the top
caring,
of your head.
Caring.
Yeah.
Loving. Supportive.
Gentle.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a teacher, would you use the same words?
Same words.
I would use the same words, yes.
Yeah. So it was constant for her no matter what.
Nurturing. She had retired before I was there, so I did not have
her.
She
got ill and retired in,
I have no idea.
I think it was 81, maybe, 82, somewhere in there.
What about your granddad? What kind of words would you put for Mr. Spurlock?
Opinionated.
Well, I was going to say stubborn, but I guess that's kind of opinion. Like I said, there's only one way to do it. Even if the garden rows weren't straight enough, you had to go back and do them again.
Yeah, it was, you know, everything was precise. But if you stop and think about it, he was correct. If you know, he would tell you how to do something.
Yeah.
But if you would just step back and say, okay, he's correct, let's just do it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of arguing or whatever, you just learn.
But he was very fair. I mean, he was...
Yes, wasn't.
A very brilliant person.
Mm-hmm.
Always reading something or working on puzzles.
He was 95 when he died, and up until
95.
That age, he constantly read. He loved westerns, and he would sit and read or
Zane Grey novels. He loved Zane Grey.
He
was never idle. There was never any downtime for him. He was always doing something.
Let me ask you this, and maybe or maybe not. Where do you think that came from? Because when you have 11 kids, and I don't know what kind of financial situation they were in back in that day, but with 11 kids in Clay County, it probably was a rough life, and you probably had to work
hard. Everybody had to work together.
And he probably didn't have access.
And he was the oldest.
Well, right. So, but he probably didn't have access to all those books and all that information. Something had to click somewhere.
I think his mother.
Grandmother Ibby was, probably had a lot of influence
because all the children went to.
They all went to.
There were two other teachers in that mix.
Yeah.
And one was in the Air Force, and one was in the Army Air Force, stayed the whole time and retired from there. So
pretty successful family.
I think his time at the Anita Baptist Institute had an effect on him there as well too,
because it was started so that children from the mountains could come, and they stayed there and went to high school there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a dorm situation because they were from so far away up in the hollers.
Yeah.
They would come
and
stay.
I didn't realize that. And boy,
it was also to do away with some of the feuding and that kind of stuff that was going on the vision was, we educate the children and they, so forth.
Right.
And that's what it was founded.
Wow.
And another graduate from Anita Baptist is Burt Combs.
He was governor.
He was governor.
He was Grandpa's roommate.
Oh, was he really?
There at Anita.
You know, it's funny. These connections to people like that are really funny. And this just popped in my head when you said that. Ed Easterly, we had him on our program one day from the Jessamine Journal. And, of course, he reported in Frankfort, and his dad did, too. His dad was with the AP, and he told a story about Burt Combs, as a matter of fact, cooking out for Burt when he was governor and dropping his steak on the ground as they were trying to cook it. So we have another connection now to Governor Combs and Mr. Spurlock. That's pretty amazing.
I think he was from Manchester, Combs was. So
When you think about Jessamine County and you know, teaching at all the school, just about everybody, you know, had somebody in their family that probably either was in his class or was in school at the time he was teaching.
So. Because you said he came to Wilmore in 50, and when would he have retired? Do you remember?
I have no idea.
But it was after, we know it was after 60, because that's when Jessamine County was formed, and he was out there.
I know he was at, let's see, I went to Midway one year, and he was still teaching there, so that would have been 79, 80, he was still at Midway.
He taught just as long as, until he retired. He retired from Midway.
Because he wasn't there when I was in school at high school, when you were in Jessamine County High, right?
No,
he was already at Midway by that point.
He was already at Midway.
But you look from 50, we'll start there, and then going on up to the early 70s anyway, probably. I mean, there's a lot of people that had him in school at one of the two places here in our county. And then, of course, you're no telling how many people your grandmother had. Well, believe it or not, our time is up, and it goes quick, doesn't it?
It does.
But I appreciate you guys coming in and telling us a little bit more about
him.
You know, you see these people, and you put their pictures, and this is where it all comes from, is when we do this, and we share memories on our page, and then it just brings back so many good memories for people. And so because of that, we like to learn a little bit more about them and their life. And it just helps us remember the contributions that they made to the education system. There's a lot of people listening and a lot of people walking around today who were influenced by one or two or maybe both of these teachers in the Jessamine County school system, and not only Jessamine County, but it goes on into Midway and places like that too. And so we just appreciate their contribution and what it meant to us. Thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
My thanks to Cindy and Chrissy for coming in and talking about their grandparents, the Spurlocks. And I appreciate you coming in also. Another edition of All Things Jessamine has been here for you on Jess FM. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Also invite you to listen to me on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. All right here on Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.